That was a great line. Welcome to the final film in our Halloween spooktacular here on Three and a Half Gentlemen, the podcast where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collection, and one of us tries desperately to keep up. We'll let you decide which host is which, but for now, my name is Sean, and with me, as always, are my undead co-hosts, Jeremiah.
Bela Lugosi is dead, undead, undead, yo.
Eddie.
I am your Dracula.
And Brandon.
There are far worse things awaiting man than death. How come I came up with the best line of all of them? Like, literally, that never happens.
I was going Bajas, man.
Eddie,
what
the fuck were you going for?
I'm Dracula. That means a very common name. Well, I want to suck your blood. What do you want me to say?
He never says that.
There's not many quotes. I know he never says that.
Really
in this movie,
so really look say. Into my eyes.
It's true. One of my favorite quotes is if we all just stop talking.
I'll never forget my first Halloween party. Eddie was Dracula, and all he did was lean around corners with his cape over his nose, right under his eyes, and stare at people. That's all he did for the whole fucking party.
Yeah, creep. Be a creep for an hour.
You win.
And just listen to conversations. With season four, we're picking movies that we think will be fun to talk about. Some of these will be from our private collections, while others will be new releases in theaters or really, really old movies from the 1930s.
As with every review we give, our goal is to answer one simple question. How many drinks does it take to get through the film that we just watched? Now, at the end of the podcast, we'll rate the movie based on a scale of 0 to 5. 0 being a perfect film that you could watch stone cold sober, and 5 being sort of the film that makes you feel like you had just taken a mouthful of garlic while your head has been cut off and a stake driven through your heart.
Well, we know there's two ways to kill a vampire. The first is driving a stake dipped in holy water through the heart, a wooden stake. The second is to remove the head completely. So those are the two methodologies.
Well, time out. I mean, like Edward Cullen said, it's also if you get burned alive too.
That's well, he sparkled. That's not
so
fair.
What movie do we have sucking our blood tonight, gentlemen?
Stop it.
Well, last year we looked at the Boris Karloff helmed classic Frankenstein, and tonight we're taking it back to the OG vampire movie, if we don't include Nosferatu. 1931's Dracula follows the deadly exploits of the titular count as he strikes fear amongst various Londonites, including Jonathan Harker and his fiancee Mina Seward. However, under the guidance of Dr. Van Helsing, the Harkers and Sewards must track down and kill the undead Count Dracula to free Mina from the vampire's curse. This film stars the great Bela Lugosi and has earned a 7.4 rating on IMDb and a 94% critics and 82% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So we're sitting pretty good here.
Wow.
That is very high. That is very high.
I think that you
Is that better than Frankenstein?
No. Let me just say before.
Wait. I want to know about the cocktail. God damn it. I want to know about our damn drink.
Okay.
We always do this.
Thank you.
As with every movie we review, we try to pair our selection of the cocktail that we hope will enhance the viewing.
You're Yogi Bear. Hey, boo boo. And with every review that we do.
Hey, boo boo. So, Ed, please take us through
this. Does anyone know Yogi Bear anymore? Tonight?
No, I don't think so.
He's dead. Yogi Berra?
No, not Yogi. No, I'm
talking about the baseball player or the cartoon?
The baseball player.
We're talking about the game.
I know. Oh, yeah. The one. Yeah. They did a movie with, I think Zac Efron.
No, I think it was Justin Timberlake.
Awesome. It was terrible. Anyway, Eddie, cocktail.
Mina. Yeah, tonight we're enjoying Dracula's Kiss. You'll need ice, 2 ounces of vodka, 2 ounces of pink cranberry juice cocktail, 1 ounce of black cherry juice, 1 ounce of grenadine, tablespoon of lime juice. Pour these ingredients into a cocktail shaker and shake. Once it's mixed, strain it into a goblet or glass of your choosing and enjoy your undead drink.
Undead.
Okay, so let's jump into this movie. So I want to go around the table and see who has actually seen this before versus watching this for the very first time. Let's start with Eddie. Eddie, have you seen this movie? Have you heard about this movie?
I thought I saw this movie. Okay. I realized the movie that I saw, I think was about, it was had some Bowery Boys in it, or it had some like boys in it. Like, it was like, it wasn't the Rascals.
Lost Boys?
The Dead End Kids.
What was it, Jeremiah?
The Dead End Kids.
Yeah, the Dead End Kids.
The Bowery Boys.
The Bowery Boys. But it was like a Halloween version. So I did not watch this movie before, but I was excited because I really enjoyed Frankenstein and I was excited to watch this. So that was my...
Brandon, what about you?
Okay, so no, I have never seen this movie, and I've always hated myself, like actually hated myself, because, and here's my backstory as to why I chose this one for today, that growing up, I loved Goosebumps books, and I was just a fucking fanatic of Goosebumps books. And then finally, my parents were like, hey, how about you graduate to something bigger and longer and more complex? And I was like, but I don't know. I love Goosebumps. And so I remember clearly going to Barnes & Noble with my mom and dad, and they said, how about this one? It's a big, thick book. And it was Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I sat down as a little 11 or 12-year-old, and I read this book, and I was completely obsessed. I was absolutely obsessed. I thought Explained it was one of the greatest so books I'd ever read. I still think it's one of the greatest books I've ever read, just because it was the book that kind of captivated me and caught me into this idea of telling stories through words. And so I have a lot to thank Dracula about. I love Dracula as a character. I think that it's a fantastic premise. I think the storyline is perfect. So I'd never seen this movie, though. I'd never seen the OG 1931 Dracula. And now after this, I can now say that I have seen it. And I'm not going to trash it completely.
You have seen it.
I have seen it. I don't know if I will watch it again next
Jeremiah.
Year, but I've seen it.
Jeremiah.
I actually saw this movie last year when we were supposed to do this movie last year, but instead we did Frankenstein. So I actually watched the whole movie like twice because I fell asleep the first time.
Hour and 15 minutes, yeah. Folks. Hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, I could see doing that. Though.
After 30 minutes, I was just like, okay, what's going on?
Which complete dead silent part did you fall asleep at? That's the question.
Once we got on the boat, that was it.
Yeah.
However, I like Bela Lugosi. Yeah. Like Eddie, yeah. He was in a lot of these movies that mom and dad used to watch back in the day, you know, or mom would used to watch the Bowery Boys or like Abbott and Costello and everything like that. And so that's kind of like my first introduction of like Bela Lugosi and the whole Dracula mm-hmm. thing.
Nice. And Sean, what are you?
So, yeah, so I grew up on these movies. And I will tell you that when you've seen Dracula, Son of Dracula, Bride of Dracula, all these other movies, and then finally it all culminates in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, and you get to see Bela Lugosi in that movie as well. I will say that your opinion of Dracula changes drastically than if you just go back and watch this movie, because what he created and what they all created, what Lon Chaney created, what Lon Chaney Jr. created, what Bela Lugosi created, was an iconic character that they brought to the screen. And I think that that's where this movie kind of stops. Mm-hmm. You've read Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I think the story in that book, in that novel, is pretty phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's a story of love, of loss, of generational living and understanding how a character like Dracula can survive throughout the ages. And the movie really didn't delve at all into the lore or the story, and kind of focused on a single series of events that were not that interesting. Yeah. And I think that's where its downfall kind of happened.
And I don't want to be the bookworm here. So I'm not, this is like going to be my last reference to the book, but if you look at the book, okay, it's a long book and it's a really in-depth book. And it is a story that's told from multiple perspectives and it's got different firsthand accounts. And I mean, it's a beautifully created and crafted book. And so you cannot take a book that should be a miniseries and then condense it into a movie, let alone an hour and 14-minute movie. And so, you know, to cut corners, they all of a sudden they change characters, they combine different characters, they get rid of characters. You know, there's an American who is basically Bram Stoker's attempt to just make fun of Americans, who is just fucking phenomenal.
Is that Reinfield? Renfield?
No, it's Quincy, and we don't even have him in this book.
Oh, Quincy. That's with.
Yeah, he's not in this movie, and you know, you lose a lot because he's kind of the comic relief. Which, if we're going to say that, now I do want to just throw this out there because I did some research that according to the critics on Rotten Tomatoes, this is as good a movie exactly as Frankenstein, which I think we can just go ahead and say is bullshit. 94%.
Yeah, high. That's not true. Jeremiah.
Well, to your point, Brandon, like I read a lot, like, you know, they didn't really get to make the movie that they wanted to make because of when they were starting production, like right in the late 20s when the whole Great Depression happened. Like, the Universal was not going to give any penny to it. So they had to just base off like the Broadway play and just use that for like, you know, this is what they're going to be telling here and everything, which kind of sucks. It doesn't really give the benefit of the doubt. And you're right. It makes this don't even compare to Frankenstein that came out, what, 6-7 months later in the same year, you know?
I think that that's the big thing. Yeah. Is that this was so early in Universal's monster madness, you know?
To add to that, I mean, this is the movie that kicked off the Universal monster franchise and spawned horror, like several like sequels and everything. So this is the grandfather of you know, horror movies when you think about it.
Yeah.
Was there horror movies before this? Anything close to this?
Well,
yeah, Nosferatu, but was the not particularly mainstream. And what this movie did is it launched this idea of that. I don't know how to explain it without getting too deep into Universal's backstory, but they wanted to bring a series of characters to life that could be merchandise, that could kind of, I mean, they kind of created a universe of monsters, and they wanted to bring them to the screen in a memorable way where they could keep going back to the well and expanding on the characters without reusing or without creating new sets. Because while this movie was going on, you had the Spanish version being shot at night using the same costumes on the same sets with the same, you know, with different actors and different people. But it was almost like they found an opportunity to save money and still produce. And so that's kind of what they clung to. Mm-hmm.
There's a Spanish version to this?
There's a Spanish version.
I've heard something about that, and I heard that's actually a way better version than the version that we saw. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, what you're saying, wait, what you're saying is you don't have the bat flying like this, where we just have the person with the string just constantly doing
this. The bat's still flying like that. No, absolutely. The bats were like, but if you look at this movie, and I know it's easy because it's 1931, but Bela Lugosi, he drew you in with his eyes and his actions and he really did create a beautiful character in Dracula. And I think that the fact that we mock it now and it's part of popular culture, it kind of brings you back to the idea that this man went on screen and took a kind of a funny premise and he made a very respectable character out of it, much like Lon Chaney did with Boris Karloff did with
Monster
with Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster. Yeah. Go ahead, Brandon.
So no, that's good. So I mean, if I know we're not at the critiquing stage yet, but one of the things that I think that we all have kind of made mention about is just the pacing. The pacing is so off in this movie that it makes it so much slower. Yeah. And one of the reasons that I think that the pacing is off, and I hate myself for forgetting this, so you guys help me out, but we have no music in this, like legitimately so little background music, so little thematic music to keep us going. I'm trying to remember, is Frankenstein the same way? Doesn't it have some music in it to kind of push the story forward?
They have a violin. Don't they have a violin?
Well, they got the violin from, yeah. But I just can't remember.
Young phrase,
but the lack of music just slows everything so far down. And I am such a fan of music in film. And I just feel like the lack of it here just really was detrimental.
I think that's the cool thing about the movie, looking back at it. I like the simplicity of it. I like the fact that, you know, in the beginning of the introduction, you just have this story. And I think the first part of the movie works very well. Like, I really like the fact that you're just going into this castle. And I love that they were using like this painting type of like what they use even with Star Wars, where they mix a live painting as well with, like, you know, the feature that you're watching the picture. And I just love the whole like atmosphere, the gothic atmosphere of like Dracula coming down and just the whole introduction to it. I think it's really cool and it gives it more of a creep vibe. And I actually do like that. That feeling.
And I don't mean to defend this movie, just, you know, with my life, but Brandon, The first movie with 1927. Music at all with sound was 1927, The Jazz Singer. So you're not that far off. First of all, you're not that far off. Your budget is nothing. And second of all, the what budget they did have, they focused on what Jeremy costume just said. Sets. These sets were fucking phenomenal. Well, the costumes were outrageously beautiful. Yeah. And the acting, I know that you know, some people obviously mock the acting, but the acting for 1930s was superb. I agree with you that the pacing is off, and I agree with you that by today's record, the music would have helped. But at the same time, to have these long, silent scenes, you have to remember that the audience in 1931.
So how long? When did the book come out?
Okay.
When did the book come out?
1800s. Yeah, it was several years before. Yeah, I was remembering Frankenstein as having sound. Having music in the background. And I mean, I sat down with Amanda. I said the same thing. I was like, you got to remember that 1927, we had The Jazz Singer, which really introduced and revolutionized sound and music or sound in movies. And to have this moment where you have Dracula come out and is like, I am Count Dracula. Like, that was fantastic. His approach, and Jeremiah, I think you fucking hit a home run with what you said. The beginning of this movie, I think, is comparable to the very best of movie making. I do. I think it's just as good, if not even better, than some of the scenes that we get in Frankenstein. If we're putting apples and we're comparing apples, right, with Frankenstein in this one, mm-hmm. I feel like the pacing of Frankenstein was better, which is why we like it better. And I just feel like there was something more that was pushing us forward. And maybe it was just the fact there wasn't music, but there was just more dialogue.
I can tell you what it was. No, it was the question. So in Frankenstein, you had the question of whether or not Dr. Frankenstein should actually be doing what he's doing. He is creating life from nothing. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really a lot of moral or ethical questions in Dracula. There wasn't really any questions at all. It was almost like we're just sitting and watching events unfold as opposed to critiquing those events as we're watching them.
So I was wondering, the Count – Vlad, is he like a doctor or something that like just like they brought him in a couple times to like check out like Mina or like, is there no backstory of what everyone like, you know, I was gonna say, is that what the Count means?
Yeah, so he's a visiting Count.
I was gonna say, is he like, just what, he's so respected, like, and they like, oh, the Count, come over here and see what's wrong with this lady. Mm-hmm. It's just like, why is he even there?
See, and this has always been the problem, in my opinion, with Dracula across the board, and why, in my opinion, there hasn't been that many good Draculas, if any, Dracula-related stories, because you have the real characters of Harker and Mina and Van Helsing, and basically Van Helsing's always trying to kill Dracula. Mina and Harker are always breaking up because Mina falls for Dracula, and you've got this, like, tragic story. There's no redemption for any character. They all just end up just kind of getting obliterated.
Which is the shitty
that's
thing.
Why
that's the shitty thing, because the story is beautiful.
Yeah, like in Frankenstein, you have the redemption, in a little bit of redemption of the monster, a little bit redemption. In this movie, it's almost like Hamlet, where everyone just fucking dies. Like, I mean, it just you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a tragedy.
Forgive me, guys. Like, I grew up with the 1992 Francis Ford Coppola Bram Stoker Dracula. So this is basically my Dracula information here. Okay, I thought it was supposed to be like a love story. It's not a love story. No. Is Bram Stoker Dracula not a love story, or was that just Francis Ford just like, you know, putting his shit on it?
Francis Ford was literally taking the story of the Bram Stoker, the beautiful story that Bram Stoker gives us, and basically saying, ah, fuck you. So I mean, there is this fascination, there is this love, I guess, between Dracula and Mina.
My childhood was a lie.
No, but you know, him wanting to create this bride. I mean, it's somewhat true, but at the same time, it is not to this level that Gary Oldman is just in love with Winona Ryder.
Fucking shit.
But Dracula has evolved so much that it's become the brides or the you know, multiple wives of Dracula.
That was scary. That was a little bit scary.
He's become a character that they've constantly searched for, like, a really good story around. And the best version, I think, of Dracula that I've seen was actually on TV. It was a BBC about probably, I want to say 5 years ago, maybe less, maybe 3 years ago.
One on Netflix?
BBC and Netflix, I think. Okay. Or maybe it was not BBC at all. And it showed Dracula in four different time periods, like back in OG Dracula days, all the way through like modern day. And it was, to me, it was like finally you had a character that you had some empathy for. Because if you think about Dracula as a character, he's neither living nor dead. He, in order to survive, he is on the, you know, he's sucking the blood of the innocent. And he's kind of a tragic character. Yeah. None of that is explored in the movie. Not one iota.
No, absolutely.
So it's kind of hard to, like, it's like hard to empathize with.
Didn't you think, like, you know, Van Helsing was pretty badass in this one? Like, I just thought he was pretty cool. Like, he was just like a, you know,
a smug little bastard, dude. He was smug. He was an asshole.
He was so cool, man. He was just like he's just going toe to toe with Dracula, and he just does the oldest trick in the book.
Looks at the mirror.
Look at the mirror, you know? I'm like, what the fuck is this shit right here? I thought it was kind of cool, man. I enjoy that shit.
So I have a question. And what's your guy's favorite? I mean, obviously, this guy is like Dracula. But what's your favorite Dracula movie?
Oh, hands down, it's Monster Squad. Dracula from Monster Squad. That's my favorite fucking Dracula of all time.
1987. Have you guys seen that movie?
Dude, he's so badass.
I have.
That's so badass.
He's scary.
He's so good.
And he has the brides of Dracula. He was a scary Dracula. I always imagined Wolfman, growing up.
He got the mummy. He got the swamp thing or creature. Dude, it's the horror movie of Goonies. It's badass. Love it.
Yeah. Before you guys answer, I do always remember Dracula being a little bit more vicious and scary and like this movie made me feel like after watching this, was people scared of Dracula after watching this, or were they like confused? Like, what the hell did I just watch?
He was supposed to be a little terrifying, like this phantom creature that would come into your room. I mean, the whole idea that he could come into your room if your window was open and you didn't have garlic or you didn't invite him in, and you know, have this fear that this creature is out there basically doing whatever he wants to do. So from that perspective, I think that he is rather terrifying.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought in folklore that in order for a vampire to come in, you had to give him the invitation to come in and not for the just like let them go through the window. Where did that happen?
Well, this is the fucking rules, Jeremiah. You got to establish the rules in your universe. And I'm telling you right now,
sorry, 1930s, we're not there.
These rules were not established in the universe, just like they're not in The Last of Us or any, you know, it's my frustration. You're feeling my frustration. I want to know the fucking rules. I want to know what blood he can have, what blood he can't have. If it's silver or wood, or if he's stabbed through the heart, does he have a heart?
Or if I've been eating broccoli all day, garlic all day, and all of a sudden he drinks my blood, and he's like, oh, this is spicy.
Spicy.
But listen, we need to talk about this because I told you guys earlier that Dracula like opened my eyes to literature, and I was obsessed. Like, not that I wanted to be a vampire, but I was like obsessed. So in order to, according to Bram Stoker, in order to truly kill a vampire, you have to either expose them to direct sunlight or you have to cut off their head, stuff their mouth full of garlic, and then put a stake through their heart. Now, this whole thing of inviting them in and not being allowed to come in, that was not established by Bram Stoker, but instead that was more of traditional vampiric lore. Now, to answer your question, who is my favorite Dracula? It is hands down the easiest decision ever. It is Max Schreck, I think. Nosferatu. That is the first. That
he doesn't
is the
even
first
know.
Dracula, and
he doesn't even know.
It's Max Schreck. But no, it's in Murnau's 1922 absolute masterpiece, silent film, which is why we aren't doing it here because nobody wants to listen to that one. But
wait, what movie is it?
Nosferatu. And what's his name? Is it Eggers or whatever? He is redoing it with Willem Dafoe.
Robert Eggers?
Robert Eggers is doing it with Willem Dafoe, which, fun fact, he played Max Schreck in what was that movie? Shit.
Shadow of the Vampire,
which was about the making of Nosferatu. It is such a fucking convoluted beauty of a
so
mess.
He's playing the vampire? Because I thought that the good-looking Bill Skarsgård is
Skarsgård's doing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Defoe's in it.
Yeah, but Willem Dafoe's in the movie.
That's pretty cool, dude.
So my favorite Dracula, I have two.
Of course he does.
My first favorite Dracula is Bela Lugosi in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
That's a good one.
Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. If anyone has ever seen this movie, it stands up today. It holds up. It is fucking hysterical. And all of them are in it. The Frankenstein monster, the Wolfman, Dracula, they're all in it. And Abbott and Costello play these two people at like a they're moving Dracula's body and things keep changing and Dracula wakes up and it is so fucking funny. That's hilarious.
Good. I like that one.
Okay. My second is I'm going to go comedy. Leslie Nielsen, Dracula Dead and Loving It. I think that was Mel Brooks too. I think that movie is a gem. It is a hidden gem of nobody talks about Leslie Nielsen enough. That man is hysterical. The guy who plays Renfield in that is he was on Ally McBeal. He was in a ton of shit. He's hysterical and horrible and that movie to me is like the epitome of terribleness, but it's so fucking hysterical. So,
Eddie, what's your favorite Dracula movie, dude?
I don't know if I have a favorite Dracula movie, but I would have to say, what Dracula gave to me was vampires, right? So vampire movies, like we're talking about 30 Days and 30 Nights, right? We're talking about the movie
30 Days of Night.
30 Days of Night, yeah.
That's the 30 Days and 30 Nights is a Josh Hartnett movie where he doesn't have sex for 30 days.
That's 40 Days and 40 Nights. My fault. Yeah. 30 Days of Night. Yes, that movie. So, and then you also get the James Woods vampires. Like, I always thought Dracula was in that movie, but I guess he wasn't. But I would want to say
– favorite film right there.
Yeah, I honestly will have to say Monster Squad as well.
That's what I'm talking about, bro.
That's my favorite Dracula movie.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. We should do that movie next year.
You know, the one I did like, and they did a remake with Colin Farrell where
– Oh, Fright Night.
Fright Night. I thought that one was actually pretty
good. The original 81s is pretty badass. It has Chris Anderson.
What's the one with Nicolas Cage recently that's out there?
That's
right
Nosferatu. Or that's Renfield. Renfield.
That's not Dracula? No,
it is.
Yeah, Dracula.
You're just getting the point of view of his assistant.
So – I want to talk a little bit about we said the pacing was really bad. We can all agree on that. But what about the other action? What about the other? I mean, the close of the movie. To me, you had this big gap. You had this kind of really interesting opening sequence and opening kind of the first 20 minutes where you got to know all the characters, and then you had this like really slow middle part that didn't really do much, and then it kind of squeezed everything into the last like 10 minutes. Is everyone else kind of on board with that, or is it am I missing something?
Yeah, that last 15 minutes I felt like was squeezing fast, and I was really like, oh, it's over. Like, oh, this is the way it's over.
They literally kill, and granted, they need to kill him off screen so that we can bring him back. But literally, there's no big climactic death. He's just like over there chiseling away in a little carton over there.
You weren't allowed to see it back in the day. They didn't show killings back in the day.
Jesus.
Okay, so I'm going to defend it a little bit because here's the thing. It's 1931. They don't know how to tell a story on screen yet. You're lucky that there's people on screen to begin with. So Frankenstein, we had the same argument, the same criticism, right? It kind of just ended. It kind of, oh, here we go. And then, oh, okay, it's over. I think that it took a minute for great filmmakers to kind of step in and go, okay, guys, I think what we should do is, not spend all our time. I mean, not spend all our time just out of the movie and actually have an ending to movies. Like, it lasted till the 60s, guys. Even movies from the 60s, it was just like, all right, we're done. Cut, move on. It's like our $300 budget went to right there. We're done. Okay.
I'm just going to say this, dude. Mina's fucking character was so funny to me, or like the character Mina, like when she was a vampire, and for whatever reason, like the scene makes me laugh. Is she's like trying to lure John into like just looking at something so she can bite him. But the way it was done, it was so fucking funny. It was just like, what's that over there? And he's like, what, darling? What is it? What's the matter with you? And it's like, oh, I didn't know what happened. Oh, okay. You know, it's just like, what the fuck?
I didn't say that. I was just like,
where are you guys fucking going with this? Because
here's the thing.
The coyness. The coyness. I'm going to bite you, but I'm going to be coy about it.
I
love this
because, Jeremy, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same thing as I'm watching it. Okay, so listen. Just hear me out. How fucking weird is it that we have to go for the jugular, right? Because of course we have to. That's where all the blood is. Yet at the same time, you can't just accidentally like, oops, my teeth grazed your neck. Like it's this weird close proximity. It's like if you're trying to like, listen, I'm going to say it this way. If you're trying to suck up your bro, you can't do that in a way that's just natural. You just got to be like, ooh, I'm going to look at that map with you. Oops. So I get it. And we got to remember one thing. I'm going to turn into Sean right now, and I'm going to defend the shit out of this. She is brand new to vampirism. She doesn't know the tools and the tricks of the trade. She's just sitting there trying to figure it out as she's going. I think that we should applaud the poor girl.
Right, you know, so you're saying like all of a sudden.
No, we're not born with a gift.
No, you're saying all of a sudden she has this.
I'm just saying.
All of a sudden she has this.
You're like a Jedi. You need a master. You need a master to learn.
Your blood. She's like.
Yeah, and Dracula was not fucking there. He was not there. He was like, I'm going to abandon her. I'm going to love her, but I'm going to abandon her.
That guy was so close to death. He could have get hit by a truck and he didn't know what the fuck was going on, dude. He's like, oh, sure, what's going on? Oh, okay. Wait a second. There is something wrong with you. Van Helsing.
What I love, dude. Dude, you talk about how you love Dr. Jeez. Van Helsing. I think that he's a fucking smug asshole because he just comes in, he rips off her little scarf and he's like, ah, like I thought, two puncture wounds. And they're like, you're going to look at this and go like, oh, right, we have a vampire. Point. And I'm completely like, this makes sense. No, it doesn't. You should be looking for the flu or something first. Okay.
He's a vampire expert.
Yeah, he's doing the – yeah, and he just rips it off. Yeah. Like, doesn't ask. He just fucking is like, oh, look what I presume. Side manner. And dude, I am right.
He already knows the Dracula is in the house, so he's just like, hey, like there's some crazy shit going on in here, guys. I see this person doesn't have a reflection and he doesn't like crosses.
No, he's just like,
has to be a vampire.
He just carries a cross in his back pocket, like, ooh, I'm gonna come across this guy.
I think Rainfield, I think that's probably the best character of this whole like movie here. He's so fucking demented in this movie. I read that this is the same guy that actually played Igor in fucking Frankenstein. Ooh. He got typecast all the time, so that was his character, that was his life and shit, dude.
The sidekick. He was the sidekick. That's pretty cool to say that you've been like part of like, yeah, that's a pretty good
always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yeah.
Right. Never the bride.
So were they really against showing like death?
You were not allowed to see it.
Like, you're not allowed to actually see Dracula bite someone or you just like they pan away and then somebody screams.
That was kind of cool.
You see Renfield roll down the stairs on Jesse's dead.
Yeah, I think that was kind of cool. I think it really like if you don't see it, then your imagination just goes a little more on what happened and shit. So especially in the 1930s, I guarantee you that people were like kind of freaking out.
So do you know, fun fact, Dracula never once blinks his eyes. I'm looking for some fun facts to pepper in here. Never once blinks
43
his
minutes
eyes.
In.
Yeah. An effect that enhances the undead character's otherworldly aura.
Ooh. Did you see his hands?
I loved his hands.
His hands
were
creepy.
Fantastic.
They're all like crusty.
It reminds me a lot of Saruman in Lord of the Rings with his ability, Christopher Lee's ability to like almost double jointedness with the fingers.
So Christopher Lee, you know how Bela Lugosi comes down the stairs and he kind of floats down the stairs? Where Christopher Lee had this thing where he would float away from you. Like he would, like everything was just like, everything was, you didn't believe your eyes. It was just magnificent. Oh, Christopher Lee was a good Dracula. I'm sorry.
Pouring one out for him.
If you got to get a chance, watch Ed Wood, because it's so funny. Oh, yeah. Like Bela Lugosi, you know, because it's the true story about Bela Lugosi and Ed Wood. But I always like when he's talking about like, you know, oh, how do you do that? His fingers. He's like, I'm double jointed. That's how I do it.
Here, I want to give you a fun fact, Sean. I know you want a fun fact real quick, that Bela Lugosi just happened to be from Romania, which is exactly where Transylvania is. And I mean, that's fortuitous. I think we need to look at his real, I bet you he's around still. He's a vampire. I'm not saying he's Dracula.
I heard he got buried with his cape. That's the word around the campfire.
He
like he's one
he got buried in his cape.
Badass. That's pretty badass.
He left the legacy, dude.
Guarantee people at his funeral are like, this motherfucker is about to wake up. Back. I know he's about to wake up. He look at him. He has his cape on. He's coming back. He's not dying.
I would have the mortician make a smile on my face if I were him.
I will say this, okay? As perhaps not fantastic as this movie was today, it has given birth to generations of movies and films. And I mean, there is we've talked about horror movies, we've talked about slashers, we've done four seasons of Halloween spooktaculars. None of this is possible without the OG Universal horror lineup.
I mean, I do agree with you guys. Dracula was the birth of vampires, right? Like you don't get vampires without Dracula, and then from there you get, you know, you get werewolves and you get everything. So Dracula is the birth. And I want to say this Dracula, he was very spooky. I enjoyed seeing him every time he was on camera. I enjoyed watching him. I think it was everyone else's characters besides him that I kind of was just like, okay, like it's, you get what you get. It's 1931. So, I mean, you don't get, you know, it's a movie that will be a prestige movie for that. It's the beginning of horror movies.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get where we're at now without this movie, and I agree with that.
I agree. And that brings us to the end of review. Now it's time on the podcast where each of the hosts provides a score on the following scale. The Count, can you please provide the following scale, please?
0, the perfect movie, you don't need shit to enjoy it. 1, a filled your first cocktail. 2, a happy buzz. 3, you're in the Uber lifting home. 4, rough morning walk to shame. 5, blackout shit face spring break drunk. Gentlemen, let's start with Jeremiah.
So with this movie, this is the grandfather of all horror movies, which I fucking love, and I love that to death. I love how this movie has no color because it means that it has like this dead feeling, and I love that atmosphere. I love the gothic atmosphere, you know? It has that chills. It has that kind of seduction for it, you know? This movie is 100 years old, and it's going to live throughout another 100 years old. It's because of Bela Lugosi. This is the movie that you want to see. This is the reason why you see it, is because of this character and it's this actor that just pretty much embodies this legacy in so many ways, yo. This is the only reason why you watch this movie. He's fascinating. He's amazing. He is spellbinding, and I love it. However, just as we've been talking about throughout the whole like episode, it just doesn't flow right. It doesn't feel like Frankenstein felt like a piece of art. This felt like, you know, it was just trying to find its place. I get it. It's 100 years old. Shit, what do I know about making fucking movies and shit like that, you know, especially 100 years old. But it just feels like it was just put together, just to put together and just kind of just like make it work for what it is. The only reason why this movie works is because of the acting. The rest of it does not feel that great. So this is a, you know, Ubering and lifting home from this movie. This is the 3 drink for me here, guys.
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandon, go for it.
Yeah, I can take it. So I think that we have this really hard task that we've set for ourselves 4 seasons ago when we started this thing, to say that we're looking at films based off of their importance to cinema, because we have to take that into account. But then at the same time, we have to also say, is it an enjoyable film to watch, right? Because I think that we have this really crisscrossing smashing of these two concepts here. We have a movie that is probably easily one of the most important films. And Jerry, you said the same thing, that it's established what has become these monster movies that we know and love. So it is one of, I think, the most important movies ever made. I also think that it is one hell of a slog. Like, you got to just get through it. An hour and 14 minutes has never felt so fucking long. And I think that this is troublesome, right? And I'm like sitting here, and the whole time I'm listening to you guys, but I'm also thinking, like, what score am I really going to give this? And so, Jared, I had already written down my score. So, I mean, I appreciate the help that you and I are looking at this movie eye to eye. It's got some great things. Bela Lugosi is awesome. He's not in it enough, though, to save a movie that just needs something more. And I, you know, I know that the excuse that we're giving to is applicable, right? It's new, and it's, you know, movie making is still brand new. It's only really about 35 years old at this point. But at the same time, give us more. We need a little bit more. We had stage dramas that they knew how to do pacing. So I'm giving this an almost Ubering and Lifting Home. I'm giving it a 2.98 just because I'm giving those 0.02. I'm giving it to the fact that this is such a – I just want to piss Jer off. That's actually the reason. There's no other reason. There it is. 2.98.
I'm the asshole here.
Yeah. No, I'm the asshole for you. That's all I'm saying. So apparently you and I can split that Uber. How about that? Eddie, what you got, buddy?
Sounds good, man. Gas is expensive.
I love it. I love this. Yeah, right? I think you guys are really cheap for gas prices right now. So this movie, I like to say, you know, Frankenstein, we keep comparing it to Frankenstein. And I feel like Frankenstein hit the mark, right? It definitely it's the only other movie that I have to compare to at this. You know, there's not many scary movies back in the time at this I can compare to with what they did. Now, I don't know if you get Frankenstein without this movie, but still, if I'm comparing it to that movie, which it's hard for me not to, I have to say it's not equal to that Frankenstein value of what I gave Frankenstein the great value, and I was entertained the whole time. I think the best part of this movie is Dracula, Bela Lugosi.
You got it.
It was beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful to see him in this movie. I do wish, you know, Dracula, you get. I wish they'd have shown something with the fane, something with something there that they could have brought out more like Dracula vibes with maybe the sun hitting him or the fanes. Just little things that you always knew of to this day. Somehow it became that way. So I thought it came from this movie, but I guess it never really did. They talked about little things, but I never actually saw
the sequels too.
Yeah, so maybe that's what it was. I actually did fall asleep at the end of this movie. I had to rewatch it. I was like, oh shit, what happened? I woke up. This movie is an acceptable, standard, satisfactory movie for the beginning of horror movies. Like it's the way to say it is what it is. It's a nice movie. It's not anywhere near some of the stuff that we've watched in the past. I'm honestly though have to give this movie a 3.74.
Oh.
I'm gonna go 3.74. So I'm going with I'm almost to Rough Morty Walk of Shame. I'm gonna Uber Lifting Home with over a
you
shot.
You can join us.
So
too.
Uber Lifting Home with over a shot. So 3.75.
We're pretty sloppy here, man.
3.74 is 5.
Sorry.
wait, Eddie.
3.74. Okay, you said you caught me.
I got you. I want to piss Jeremy off.
All right. So I understand where you're coming from, and I understand this is not as good as
something like
Frankenstein, which I believe I gave Frankenstein a 0.
You did.
I almost did too.
This is not Frankenstein. However, upon watching this movie and watching film essentially being birthed in front of us, watching the camera move for the first time the way it was supposed to follow the characters, and it was supposed to immerse you in Lugosi's actions and movements and the close-ups and the absolute terror and seduction that he brought to his character. I think that there's a lot of technical things that go into making a movie that we take for granted as an audience, and we don't know how incredibly hard to keep continuity is, to keep consistency of character, of movement. There's so much that goes into making a movie. And I think that there's a comment that Ed makes sometimes when we do old movies, and that people need to go back and actually watch it and not just rate it based on what they feel the movie should be. And I'm going to go ahead and say this is probably one of those times where if you go back and actually watch this movie and immerse yourself in the shot and understand that they had wooden dollies, that they had no budget, that they're in the middle of the Depression, that they're trying to bring to life a stage play without really a lot of money, and still they persevered and created something that has an 82% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 7.4 rating.
Yeah,
on
it's
IMDb.
A must see.
So, but I'm trying to get to the heart of why it's a must see. It's a must see because you're literally witnessing the beginning of film, and that is exciting. It's
if this movie was not in the beginning of, like, you know, beginning of the film,
it'd be terrible. Like, it'd be fucking terrible. It'd be fucking terrible. But there's a scene in Jaws, okay? And I remember this for, I'll remember this forever. There's a scene in Jaws where Martin Brody is sitting on the beach, and the camera, as people pass, go into the water, out of the water, into the water, out of the water. It comes forward and back. And that was the first time on screen that you had seen this technique used so beautifully by Steven Spielberg. I'm like, what were they facing when they filmed this film that hadn't even been thought of? They were trying to fucking move the camera without it shaking. You know what I mean? It's so technically difficult what they accomplished. And this movie is so beautiful. I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to give it a feel good first cocktail with a shot. I'm going to say it's a 1.5 because this movie, what it overcame and what it means to cinema is just as important as its quality. And so that's where my score is.
Exactly what I was thinking with Friday the 13th, too. He pretty much said exactly the same thing about that movie.
Yeah, except I give that a bad...
You guys can be wrong on different movies. That's fine.
Are you rating this movie? Are you rating this movie as in, like, 1931? Like, you're in 1931 and you're
basing the movie based on our mandate of what impact this had, and to understand the difficulty in making this movie and how just dragging a camera from one side of the room to the other side of the room, you know, it just seems very difficult to me. And they did it pretty well. I think they did it pretty well.
And that's why for me it's not a 5 and it's a 3.74.
That's not the question. The question is not whether it's that's not the metric I'm using.
Okay, that's what I mean. That's fine. I appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. I'll watch it again. I mean, anyway. All right. When you take those four scores and divide by four, what is it? Dracula get an average rating of?
It gives us a 2.805.
All right, and Jeremiah, where does that put us on our list of movies we have reviewed? Watch it be in the right spot.
It's not in the right spot, actually. It's too fucking hot low.
It's too low?
It's too low. It's between 54 and 55 here.
Oh, too low as in bad or too low as in high?
It is what it is here, man. No.
So what movies are better than Dracula?
Beetlejuice, Scream, Terminator, Rocky, Moulin Rouge, Nightmares on Elm Street.
What movies are worse than
Dracula? Ready to say it, Sean.
Vanilla Sky. Three Hana, yep. V for Vendetta, The Ring, Tron Legacy, Armageddon.
Yeah.
All right, it's a little high. It's a little high. It is.
Yeah. But you know what? Somebody put it with a 1.5. Okay. I mean, and you got to live with the mistakes that you make.
Oh, that's not a mistake. It's a personal opinion, and a personal opinion cannot be wrong.
You know what? I agree, Brandon. I agree, Sean. It's like that time I didn't give Empire Strikes Back a perfect score.
No, that was a fucking mistake, bro.
It was not a mistake. It's not a perfect movie.
My next review, I'm going to be like, you know what? They used the camera. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. It's a 0.1.
Right? You know what? They actually had music in the movie this time. It's the first time they ever had music ever.
He walked down the stairs. It's a good story. And he didn't trip. That's a 1 for me. And nice, you know what? Nice. This is establishing how characters.
I love all you guys.
Can walk down the stairs for future movies.
They actually ate in this movie the first time ever, and it was so hard to not crunch.
All right, it is what it is, guys.
Wait, I'm so glad we're doing this at the end of the podcast. So Sean isn't like, you know what? What's the fucking point of us even recording now?
You're right. Yes, I agree.
No, I totally understand what you guys are saying. I really do.
I understand what you're saying, Sean. I appreciate your score. I think that exactly that Dracula,
I know where you're coming from,
is exactly what it should be.
I got you.
I wish I had done a 1 higher, a 2 point whatever. But still, it's fine.
It's good. It's just, you know what? It is what it is.
There we go.
I mean, it is better than it's not better than
The Ring, though. I love The Ring.
Yeah, no, I'd rather watch Dracula 100 times than watch The Ring.
It's not better than Armageddon.
Yes,
no,
that's
true.
I would watch this 100 times over Armageddon.
I like Armageddon.
Jeremiah, I'll never forget that podcast.
I want to see Bruce Willis save the world.
Jeremiah, yeah. Bruce Willis save the world or Bela Lugosi put it.
Right? Come on, guys. You want to see this or you want to see someone brilliant to come on.
Just saying, the world needs Bruce Willis right now to save the world.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, Dracula had like 48 sequels. Where's the sequel to fucking Armageddon? Just so you know.
You know, you can't do a sequel to Armageddon because they saved the world. We have to wait another couple hundred years before
you save the world once. Yep.
Yeah. All right. If you enjoyed our review or a fan of the podcast, we ask you please subscribe wherever you're listening. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can find us on Instagram at the Dot Gentleman Podcast. The Dot means a lot. You can visit our website at thegentlemanpodcast.com. Or if you want to reach out, you can do so by email at hosts with an S at thegentlemanpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening to our Halloween Spooktacular. This is the last of our 4 entries. After we finish out this last episode, we're going to be returning to our regularly scheduled season 4 episodes through the end of the year. We might throw in some holiday specials, some Christmas specials. We're not sure yet. But it's, I will say this, the beginning of the year, we kind of made you a deal, the audience. So we said we're going to produce as many weeks as we possibly could of material. And we have certainly lived up to that. This has been a very grueling year for all of us.
But enjoyable.
And we are happy to continue to bring, but enjoyable. Happy to continue to bring you episode after episode. And the response has been really good. And we want to just thank you so much for listening and helping us grow. If you really want to get involved, share the podcast. Share the podcast with a friend, with a family member, over the holidays, whatever you do, just share it with at least one person and watch the podcast grow.
Appreciate it.
You know, and also tell us what's your favorite scary movie. Tell us what's your favorite scary movie. You know, just in maybe next season
we definitely need some suggestions. We had a lot of texts going back and forth and flying back and forth. Oh my god. Well, in that case,
all right. Well, with that, cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers, guys.